Hello, welcome back to Tales from the Potting Bench. I'm Adam, a gardener, writer, and podcaster with a passion for hearing people's stories and sharing them with you. Before we get into this week's episode, I'd like to ask, if you listen to this podcast and enjoy it, then please consider rating and leaving a review on your podcast platform of choice. It's easy to do, takes just a few minutes of your time, but it helps this podcast get into the ears of more like-minded, planty people. I'm thrilled to say that this podcast continues to be sponsored by the wonderful people at PlantGrow, producers of award-winning organic compost, mulch and fertiliser made with zero chemicals. Great for your garden and even greater for the planet. And I know because it's all I use on my garden. Don't forget, if you use the code POTTINGBENCH on plantgrow.co.uk, you'll get 10% off your order. So, we're now in the sixth season of this podcast, and this time we're doing things slightly differently, as over the course of the coming weeks we'll be hearing from some of the most inspiring and interesting women across the UK as I bring them together in what I'm calling a celebration of women in plants. I am constantly inspired by the women around me, and it's high time that we're able to bring them together and share their passion with them. So, without further ado, let's introduce my first guest of the season. Herbs have grown and grown in popularity over recent years, and we've all become accustomed to growing more of the flavours that we love and using them in our food and drink. But someone who has been a real pioneer with herbs long before all of that is the sensational Jekka McVicar. Jekka is truly an original when it comes to bringing herbs to the masses, and her family farm in Gloucestershire is a sight to behold. Fortunately, Jekka also has a brand new book out, which we talk about here, along with much, much more. Enjoy. So, for anyone who is not familiar with you right now, who are you and what do you do?
It's such a huge question. What do I do? I'm a herb farmer. I'm a mum. I'm a dog lover. I'm an author. I'm a lecturer. I'm a herb nut. I'm a plant nut. That's what I am now.
Many, many things, though.
I think anything to do with growing plants is many things. Yes.
Yeah, you're right. But do you know, one thing that you didn't mention in there, I think is probably perhaps quite pertinent at the moment, is a bit of a, I suppose, a debate that's kind of raging on. Are you a gardener or are you a horticulturalist?
I'm not a gardener. I am a plant nut, so therefore I'm a horticulturalist. My daily life, I mean, today, for example, take today, for example. What did you do today, Jekka? I first of all checked all the plants on the nursery to check they were watered okay, to check for pests and disease. And these are plants in pots. I then walked the garden to see, because we got a frost tonight, how things were. Did I need to lift anything and what I need to do from that? Having walked the glass house, I found that the Origanum Kent Beauty were beginning to struggle. So I thought, better do some cuttings. So I did 32 cuttings of Origanum Kent Beauty, which, as you know, is just one of the most beautiful oreganos you could possibly have. I then went with Jessica. There's only Jessica and myself that run the nursery. That's the whole team. We walked around the herbetum. I created this herbetum out of, I was in a meeting and I looked around this meeting and one gentleman had an arboretum. Another gentleman had a pineetum. Another gentleman had a galanthus collection. A galanthus is the snowdrop. And I thought, herb farmer, doesn't sound quite as sexy as an arboretum. So I thought, I was so bored in this meeting that I'd look up the word etum. And etum means a collection of. So I thought, oh, jolly dee, I'll have a herb etum. But as you're beginning to realise, I have a bit of a warped sense of humour. So I thought, right, I will call it a herb or etum. And that was cool. And I made a sign saying herb or etum. I then got an email from France saying, you can't call it a herb or etum because we've registered the name. So I thought, oh, So I wrote back saying, I've looked you
Gosh.
up. You're a very small nursery. Can't we join forces and have a lovely Herboretum European network?
Yeah.
And they said no. So I thought, oh, right, okay. I then got a letter from Memphis in the USA. And that meant that I got sued by America, and I said, okay, fine, I will not call it a herb or eatum. I will call it a herbeatum, which is what it is today. Anyway, we toddled around the herbeatum together, and we found masses. This is how, if any of you want to know how to get plants for free, I still, even though I run a commercial nursery, I still call it plants for free. I was toddling around the nursery, and you could see all these seedlings. And they survived us -6, -8, and they're all coming through. So we got some scabious seedlings. We got some filipendula, which is meadowsweet seedlings. And what else did we find? Oh, yeah, we found some Violo dorata seedlings. So we took all these and we took the seedlings with the tiny root system, and then we put that into jumbo plugs. So that's what I did today. And that is my life, is that minute. It is looking at the minutiae of plants and loving plants for what they are. Whereas when you're gardening, you're looking at the garden, the vista, the whole being. And if you're a head gardener, you're having lawns cut and trees felled and hedges done the things too. Whereas me, I'm just propagating or sowing seeds.
Oh, do you know what I love about that though? Is that I think this debate has perhaps gone the way that it wasn't necessarily intended. It's almost I think the way it's been taken, certainly by some people, is that the horticulturalist thing is that it's somehow superior, and it's almost as though there's been a kind of a I don't know a hierarchical thing in a way. But I really don't, I don't think that was never the intention, but that's the way it's gone, isn't it?
No, well, Adam, you've got to realize in the horticultural world, and if you look at the RHS, for example, I was on the council of the RHS for a long time and I'm now a vice president, which shows how old I am. But anyway, when you look at that and you look at the RHS and the committees, the top committee is trees. Yeah. The next one is herbaceous, and then it's orchids, or could be orchids, then herbaceous, depends, they're always rowing. Then you've got alpines. And at the bottom of the heap, literally the bottom committee, which was the very first committee which founded the Royal Horticultural Society, is fruit and veg, and now fruit,
God.
veg, and herbs. And we are the bottom of the heap, and it is the lowest of the low to be growing vegetables and herbs. And I'm sorry, but nurserymen are also perceived way below a gardener in the horticultural world. It goes landscape architect, landscape designer, head gardener, gardener, nurseryman. And that's where I am. But I am a horticulturalist.
So for you, what's the difference? Is that kind of
It's the
your
minute.
the
It's the fact that
specifics?
the only difference between me and the head gardener is I'm looking at the minute. He's looking at the overall picture.
I just wonder why the debate has gone so voracious. It's kind of gone a bit crazy, hasn't
Just a bit.
it? Yeah, that's a bit, isn't it? Good Lord. We're I
Yeah.
mean we're all in it for the same reasons,
We're
though.
all in the same thing, but interestingly, there are very few women nurserymen. There are very few women who run nurseries. Very few. Because it's a 7-day week. I mean, that's the simplistic reason. I think also it's very physical, and you need, I think, I don't actually know why. And there should be more women recognised with VMHs and EMHs.
Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. Well, do you know, we've miraculously talked for 10 minutes already and not even mentioned really the thing that you are so incredibly passionate about. Dare I say obsessed with herbs? Are you obsessed with herbs, Jacko?
I don't know if obsessed is the right word. I would say totally fascinated. And the fact that I've been in the industry this March 40 years
Good
and
Lord.
I'm still learning. And anyone who says, which I've come across, that they know it all in horticulture or gardening or a plant or whatever, they're wrong.
Yeah, of course.
That's the most wonderful thing about gardening and sharing and plants is that we don't know it all. And a true gardener horticulturalist will share at the drop of a hat. Do you want to know how to grow this? You want a bit of this? I'll give it to you. Do you understand? It is this the most wonderful world of sharing that I have ever been in. And what worries me, and you are not part of that because I can tell that you are a sharer, is social media has stopped people sharing quite so
Oh,
much
that's interesting.
about how to grow. And quite a lot of the how to grows now, is there a right way or wrong way? Yep, there is. But each plant has its right and wrong,
Yeah, of
not
course.
the whole spectrum. So you have to look at how that plant grows. So when you're generalizing about how to do cuttings or what to take, then you're getting into real problems.
Do you think social media has made a diff- I mean, it's clearly. Has it made a difference to you and
To us?
your, well, I mean, it has to everybody, hasn't it? I mean, we've almost just
I
gone,
don't know. I don't know. I mean, my first book sold 1 million copies worldwide, and that was before social media.
Sure.
So will this one sell as much? By the way, he hasn't mentioned it yet, but I've got a new
Not
book
yet.
coming out
Not
March the
yet.
7th.
It's coming. It's coming. Don't you worry.
This is my 40 years worth of work in one book. Because the first book I wrote was 30 years ago. And that was after 10 years experience. How long have you been going now, Adam?
Oh, don't. Only a matter of a few years. It's been 4 years, I think.
Okay. So my first book was written after 10 years, and you're writing a new book, I know. I'm checking out.
I may well be, yeah.
That's my BBC hat coming out on
Yes,
you.
well done. Well done. What I don't have is 40 years experience of, is it, so is that 40 years within herbs? Because it
Yeah.
was herbs right from the very start, wasn't it?
Well, no. Yes, it was. I mean, I actually hate to say it, started working on a herb farm in 1975.
Say it quickly, it's fine.
Yes, so that's even longer. But I started my own herb farm 40 years ago
40
in
years
my
ago.
back garden in Bristol when my children were one and two.
Did you intend, well, I was gonna say, did you intend for it to kind of always be herbs? Were you kind of in love with herbs at the point? Well, I mean, you must have been to start it, surely.
Okay, so how it all started, really, if I look back, is I could pick. I was the eldest in my family, and my mum, I'm a child of the 50s, and my mum had a sustainable vegetable garden and always grew herbs. So I trotted off for her and picked the herbs, and I was in charge of picking herbs and chopping. And I knew my difference between an apple mint and a spearmint and a French parsley and a girly parsley before I went to school aged four. So they're ingrained in my life, and she would give me dill seed tea if I got hiccups or had a bad stomach. So, as I say, herbs were my foundation. So when I got my first herb garden, because I'd been brought up to always cook with herbs, and like you, when I first had my first house, I got my first garden. Unlike you, all I grew in it was herbs. And it was that with the children, my children are just over a year gap between the two of them. And my husband was away working in space. He built satellites. A girlfriend of mine came in and said, "Can I have some French tarragon?" And I thought, wow, yeah, help yourself. But I can grow that from home. And so in my semi-detached back garden, a lot of culinary herbs, I bought the veg man's van and I used to deliver to Fortnum and Mason's. Children strapped in their baby seats.
What an incredible
Because
beginning with that.
also I was peat free then. Yeah, I was accused by the Herb Trade Association that I was likely to cause listeria, was it salmonella or listeria, for my customers because I was using peat free compost.
Good luck. Were you doing that from a conscious point of view? Were you
Yeah,
doing that to,
absolutely.
yeah.
I'd read Anne Balfour's book. I was always organic from the word go. I was certified by the Soil Association when I got here. And in 2009, my stand at Chelsea got the Lawrence Medal, which is the best it said it shown in the year, and I was organic certified by Soil Association and peat free. So all this thing about everyone being peat free now, whoa, get real, get
Yeah.
hurry up, chaps, you're way behind.
So the whole peat ban is really not going to make any difference to your nursery then, is it?
No, but I really would like to encourage people to go peat free without fear. If you know your plants and if you understand how they grow, I propagate peat free, I do everything peat free.
Yeah.
You can grow peat free. It's just taking the time. People don't take time.
No,
They're
you're
all
right.
in too much of a hurry and looking at the costs. If you slow down, so I have on average a 98% success rate with all my cuttings. So, therefore it works.
I think that it's kind of sensationalized slightly. I understand the worry, I suppose, from the industry side to an extent, but for the everyday gardener, I have never used peat compost since. I mean, it's only been 4 years, but I've never used peat-based compost because it's certainly been a topic of conversation the whole time that I've been doing this. And I because I've done it from the start, that's just the way that I've gardened, and it's not been a problem as such. But it is a mind shift for some people, isn't it? I suppose. But that's incredible that you've done that for so long, and you were so conscious of it right from those early days.
Oh, yeah, but you see, I had a 1-year-old and a 2-year-old. Okay, I was home alone, and the last thing I wanted them to do was eat something they shouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't mind children eating soil as long as you know what's in it, and also I didn't want any chemicals around. So, this whole book is about, the first book was using bark, and everyone thought I was mad. But this one really is, and it shows you all the pests and diseases as well, because that's what's fascinating. In 40 years, when I first started, there were very few pests and disease that hurt herbs. Now we're inundated with leaf hopper and with rust. So I sterilize for rust every autumn. So all my mint is sterilized every year.
Right.
I use the hot water treatment. Yeah, I literally put my rhizomes in hot water
Right.
for 10 minutes and then take them out. And then for spraying, the only thing I'll ever use is SB Invigorator, which is a soft horticultural soap,
Right.
which is fine for my bees.
Okay.
So you've got to keep the balance.
Yeah,
And
of
I use
course.
predators, obviously, and I'll use carnivorous plants within the glasshouse.
Oh gosh, that's incredible. So let's talk about the title of the book before we go anywhere else. So this is 100 Herbs to Grow. Now I've got a specific question about that. Is that you saying these are, I suppose, is that you saying, and is that you kind of indirectly saying that these are your 100 favorite herbs, productive herbs, reliable herbs, or all of the above plus more? No?
No, it's just 100 herbs to grow. So, okay, I grow 72 different types of thyme.
Good Lord,
So,
I
but
didn't
that's
know
just
there were
one herb.
72 types. Yeah, well, yeah. So
No,
is
I've just put it as one herb.
that, and that's
And
just
I
one
grow,
herb.
yeah. So when you see the book, okay, when you go to thyme, it's under thyme. So thyme is one chapter. So that is one of my 100.
Oh
The
my
fact I grow
gosh.
72 is irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah,
That's, I mean,
and
that's even more impressive.
I grow 45 different types of mint, and
45.
I'd forgotten how many types of lavender, but thyme is my biggest collection. But then I do things like how to design a garden, and I do things like propagation. I've tried to cover everything from how to propagate a plant from seed or cuttings, and plant families. Okay, so you're moderately novice.
Yeah.
It's okay, moderately novice. So you know the difference between Lamiaceae and Asteraceae
Yeah.
and Apiaceae.
Yeah.
What I've done in the book, because this is so important to me and how plants grow, if I can show you, I've done a little map of how a plant is hybridized and how it grows. So you've got the Lamiaceae family, and in that family, if you look at your family, you've got blue eyes.
Yep.
I can't tell on this.
Yep.
Yeah. Have your daughters got blue eyes, your
Yes, they have,
children?
yeah.
Okay. So that's a family trait in your family.
Yep.
So when you look at a plant, like the Lamiaceae family, it's got a square stem, 90% of them.
Yep.
And it's got a flower which has a lip that hangs down, which
Right.
it was called Labiatine, it's now called Lamiaceae. And in that family, you've got mint, you've got thyme, you've got sage, you've got oregano, you've got basil, you've got lavender, you've got rosemary, you've got bergamot, you've got savory. So you've got a huge collection of really top-notch and oregano culinary herbs.
Yeah.
Some of them are sub-shrubs like oregano. Some of them are shrubs like lavender. Some of them are herbaceous like mint and things like that. So you then have to understand how they grow. But once you've cracked that family,
Yeah.
you can go across the board. So with Asteraceae, they're the daisy family.
Yeah.
You've got herbaceous and everything, but it is different. It's a different technique.
Course, yeah, sure.
So this is why I'm all conscious. This is the nitty-gritty that really makes me excited about understanding how a plant works and how it grows, and then how, once I've understood that family, I can then put that into practice.
Apply that,
So
yeah.
with thymes, you never cut back into the old wood, just like with lavender and with rosemary. So you always stay within the green with all those. So, and you cut back after flowering. People don't cut back rosemary after flowering. But if you did, it will stop it getting woody.
Yeah, sure. Gosh, I can't wait to see this book.
It's really good.
I really can't wait to see this.
And they've been really, no, it's a, I mean, I've worked with publishers before. This is my ninth book. Yeah, it's the way they've laid it out. Can you see that? It's
Yeah.
just beautifully laid out,
It
beautifully
is.
clean. Just scrummy, and for me, it's got raised lettering on the
Oh,
front,
it's
and then
embossed.
it's
Yeah.
pink,
It's gorgeous. Gorgeous. I love it.
and I've got a bookmark.
Oh, you've got to have a
Really, a
bookmark.
bookmark is so important.
Garden book without a bookmark ribbon is a crime, I think.
Well, but there's so few with the bookmark now,
No, I
so yeah,
know.
I'm
Mine are just
really,
stuffed with empty seed packets.
I'm really, really, really chuffed. I'm really chuffed.
You should be. Is that a pink ribbon as well? Did I notice? Of
Absolutely.
course it is. Yeah, of course it is.
Course.
So it is kind of a culmination of your. Of all of your experience. Is this something that a complete beginner can pick up?
It's any level.
Yeah.
It really is caters for any level from right from the start. It could get you hooked because I've also put in here, which is what got me hooked in to actually start off with, is the history. I mean, well, let's find you one that you might not know. So I've got you one I put on Instagram the other day, which is Centella asiatica,
Yeah.
that everyone else thought was wasabi. It's not. In China, Gotcha Cola is described as one of the miracle elixirs of life. This was attributed to a healer named Li Jingyong, who reputedly lived 256 years ago. By drinking a tea brewed from Gotcha Cola and other herbs in the areas of India, it is known as the tiger herb. It's just the history.
Yeah, it's
How did
incredible.
they find this? What did they use? We've lost that connection with plants. We don't use it. So it's used for skin complaints. And this is a herb that is now really important in Korea. But historically, it was used to treat leprosy. So now it's modern meds, face cream and so on.
I love all of that. I love
So
the history of plants.
from
I'm
a
yeah.
new person coming into it, you would find it fascinating because it's the how we use plants.
Yeah.
But also it gives you how to grow them, but it also gives you what to do. Oh yes, because I never know, my memory's now going. So I have to look up yearly maintenance. I've got in here spring, summer, autumn, winter. Sow seeds, cut back, sow fresh seeds, no need for protection. That's Hypericum perforatum. All this new thing about how we all are. It's really important that we grow herbs because they are medicinal cabinet that we can call on for everyday remedies. They're fantastic for pollinators. I mean, the diversity of pollinating insects on the nursery is unbelievable.
Yeah, I can imagine. Yeah.
And they're also really good for the soil. And if anyone's ever heard me talk, I will say the soil is the engine of your garden. And if you don't look after the soil, you have no garden. And that includes the pot.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, absolutely. Do you ever find yourself tiring of herbs? This is a stupid question.
Get real.
Oh my Lord. I just think they're overlooked, and I think this is part of what
No,
you
they're the common
do.
plant, aren't they? It's just what I was saying to you at the beginning about the hierarchy of plants. Herbs are the lowest of the low. They are the plants of the people for the people. They are the plants before the word vegetable was invented. What was everything called? A pot herb. Vegetable wasn't invented until 1677 or something ridiculous like that. Or was it 1766? No, I think it was 16 something or other.
Gosh.
So therefore, vegetable is a modern word. Before that, everything was a pot herb because we didn't have cookers in those days. We had sort of ranges where we had the one pot over the open fire. So we would just throw everything into the one pot. So you'd put all the herbs or pot herbs and your cooney, which is the rabbit, and your stock, and anything else you could get. And that would be your food made with unleavened bread from Amaranthus or whatever. And that was it.
Incredible. Incredible. I genuinely, I think the passion that you have for herbs. I've listened, not in preparation for the podcast, but listened to you on various podcasts over the last few years. I think the last one that I heard you on was the one that you did with Sarah Raven.
Yeah.
And I knew at that point I had to get you on the podcast somehow, because I've got an absolute real thing for anybody that's passionate about something in particular. And I think you can listen to somebody talk about their passion, regardless of what it is, regardless of whether it's of interest to you. It just happens to be of interest to me, obviously. But I just think the passion that you have for it, after, not to make you feel old, so I do apologize, but after such a length of time, and you're still as passionate about it as you are, I think it's just a testament to the work that you've put into it.
Well, thank you, Adam, but it's a testament to plants. If you want to stay young, keep on growing.
Love it, absolutely love it. Is there going to be? Is this? This is a silly question as well,
Is
but
this the last book? Who
no.
knows?
Well, didn't I was going to
Get
say,
real.
is there something? I bet you've got an idea for something else. I bet you
Well,
have.
no,
Not going
I
to
do
spill
have
it now.
always a lot. I have a long gap between books because, like you, I'm incredibly busy. If you're running a nursery and you're growing plants, you don't have a lot of time.
How long have you been writing this one?
This one was because I had to have a new knee
Of course you did, yeah.
I could sit still.
Oh
My knee was recovering.
gosh. Well, I think this is a new, this is a bold term, but this is a new herb Bible, surely. I don't think
I hope so.
I really think
I
so.
hope it inspires more people to grow plants in their garden, preferably herbs. But remember, beetroot is a herb and pomegranate is a herb. So you've got a wide spectrum.
I think this is one of the things about herbs, isn't it? Is that you ask Joe Gardner, their thought is it's mint and it's thyme and it's the sim it's the it's not that that's a problem, but it's the simple, oh, it's just garden mint and it's whatever, but
It's
it's the
what you can
breadth,
get from
isn't
the
it?
supermarket.
Yeah.
It's the supermarket herbs rationalized because when supermarket herbs started, they were only raised from seeds, so therefore they were a limited range. Now they are progressing, but they are all on a tight schedule. It's 22 days from seed to sale, whereas I'm a seasoned, or maybe 5 years. I grow capers here. And that takes me 5 years from seed to sale. And then people get cheesed off about how expensive they are.
Well, it's
And I
five
said,
years' work, isn't it?
have you bought a pint of beer recently? Apparently it's £10 now for a pint of beer. I got told the other day.
Never
Well,
is.
that's not even.
It never is. Gosh.
So therefore, well, I know that a glass of wine is 8 quid, but even that is not the same price as my plant, which has taken me, 5 years to grow. And people don't value how much it costs, how much has gone into actually raising that plant. So you have the seedling, then you have to pick it out, then you have to grow it on, then you have to pot it up, then you have to keep watering it every day. And 5 years, and then I sell it to you, and you go, oh, it's very expensive. And you go, have you had a pint of beer lately? How long did that last you? This will last you years.
That pint of beer didn't take 5 years to grow, did it?
And it didn't take 5 years to last.
No, definitely not. Okay, well, I've got three questions for you in a minute, but before
No.
we get onto
I'm
those,
dreading those. I'm
no.
trying not to have.
They're very, very difficult. They don't call me the Piers Morgan of gardening for nothing. Thankfully, they don't call me that. But before we get on to that, should anyone want to have a look at your herbs and find out about your book, what is your website for everyone to have a look at?
It's jekkers.com.
Jekkers.com. That's JEKKAS.
JKAS.com.
.com. Lovely.
So that's
Okay.
our, we're open on open days only. And I always give a talk at the open days.
You do your
So
festival as well.
that's every 2 years.
Yeah.
So there's not one this year.
Next year.
There may be one the year after. So we've got our open days all scheduled. They're all down. But I am at Malvern Spring this year.
So am
Which is good.
I. So am I. We
I'm
shall have
on.
to
I'm
meet.
on a Thursday. When are you on?
Oh, Saturday and Sunday. That's typical, isn't
So no, that's my open day. So I'm on a Thursday,
it?
and I'm at Hampton Court
Okay.
on the Tuesday, the first day, and I'll be at Chelsea.
Lovely.
I'll be swanning
Wonderful.
around there kissing.
Of course, that's what you have to do, isn't
Yeah.
it?
But yeah, that's it really.
So lovely. So everyone have a look at that website where you can buy herbs and lots of
Absolutely.
other bits and bobs as well.
Yeah.
So are you re ready for these
No.
hard-hitting questions?
No.
Okay, then really not that difficult. Question number one. What is one plant that you always struggle to grow and just can't get along with? It doesn't have to be a herb.
It took me 20 years to crack how to grow. It's been reclassified. It was Mario Kiongi. It's now Bergia Kiongi. That took me 20 years to work out,
20 years.
but I've
What was it that
cracked
you
it now.
struggled with?
How to grow it?
Oh, just how to, yeah, just. Oh, dear. But you've
Yeah, to
cracked
grow
it
it,
now.
I could not propagate it in any shape or form. Took me 20 years to crack it.
Was worth sticking with? You glad you stuck with it?
Oh gosh, yes. If you've never eaten the curry leaf, it is
I have,
absolutely sublime. Just a couple of fresh leaves in with rice. Oh, wow.
yeah.
Just nothing else. Yeah, beautiful.
Okay, that's the one. Okay, second question. Apart from other gardens and other gardeners, what brings you inspiration as you garden yourself?
Birds. Have you ever been out? Well, this morning, I trotted out onto the nursery and there was a song thrush singing its heart out. There was no sun. It was cold. It was grey. It was grotty. But this song thrush just lifted one's heart. And then one noticed the plants. One wasn't cold anymore.
Oh, Jekka. Oh my God. You need to go into poetry as well. You really do. And the third question is kind of a question, but also not. In this series, which I've never done before, but I really want to do, I would like each guest to leave a question for the next guest. Now, you won't know who that guest is, but I'd like you to leave a question that I can ask my next guest.
I think my question would be, what is the most important thing? Can be plant or thing or anything in your garden. What is the most important thing in your garden? There you
What's the
go.
most important thing in your garden?
Space. And the next and most important thing is the sky. I love watching the sky.
Can find out more from Jekka by following her on Instagram at JekkaMcVicar and also through Jekka's website, jekkers.com. Jekka's new book, 100 Herbs to Grow, is out this week and is available from jekkers.com and also from all good bookshops. Join me again next week where I'll be in conversation with someone else from the world of plants. Until then, do make sure to rate and review on your podcast platform of choice. You can also see what I'm up to in my garden by following me on Instagram at View from the Potting Bench. See you again next week.